Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. We have a full room tonight, more so than usual.
Yup.
First of all, joining us is our regular fan man member of the cast, Mr. Crunchman. Say hello.
Hello.
And joining us once again from the Eastern Hemisphere, our good friend Cell, the Northcaster!
I have returned from the land of dragons!
Hell yeah!
Did you bone Daenerys?
Yes.
You bastard, you were there with your woman!
Haven't I told you this? My girlfriend has the body of Daenerys Targaryen.
I was like, is that just your nickname for her?
Yes!
Just Khaleesi?
Yeah.
No, Mother of Dragons.
But, yeah, I'm back. I'm back from China. It was a lot of fun. I saw some really cool stuff, met some cool people, ate some weird food, and I brought some of that food back. What'd you guys think?
Fuck the dirty.
There's
stuff.
A video coming to Ixie
There's
Studios
a video
soon.
Coming soon. Matt. Yeah, if you want to see a video of me almost vomiting, go watch it.
For context on that, I brought some Jurian wafers. I think Jurians taste all right, but they are notorious for having the worst smell ever.
I think they're fucking delicious.
Said the man who doesn't smell.
That's probably part of it, yeah.
Probably
part of it!
What were you saying, Kevin?
Durian wafers. that's the slogan, just vomiting.
On the plus side, I brought some seaweed-flavored Pringles and cucumber-flavored Lay's, which were pretty good.
Yep. Yeah.
Seaweed Pringles were all right.
And so many...
Oh, what the hell was this again?
Oh, like... Bean chips.
Snow pea
chips.
Time for Brad to try snow pea chips.
They're full of country goodness and green penis.
Wait, that's terrible.
Penis!
And, there was also a bunch of different Oreos. For anyone who knows, this is so weird.
All of the fucking
All
Oreos.
The flavors. China loves Oreos like how Japan loves Kit Kat.
If those flavors were out in Japan, they could have made Gaim promotional versions.
But I'm back. And so you know what time it is? It's time to cue the roll call!
We're live!
Watching all the anime! Red Caster! Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Blue Caster! Ichida's Azeel!
Respecting the source material! Green Caster! Zenshi!
Actually White! Black Caster! Ransack!
Loyal and loud, Pinkcaster Lightred!
Trauma Inducer, Northcaster, Saga!
Captain of the Milky Seas, Navycaster, Crunchman!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
On air!
Otsukare! These fucking pea chips are delicious.
That part's staying in.
Yeah. Cue the roll call. These are delicious.
Your face is gross. I'm a suit.
That's like me yesterday, absolutely dummying the bag of eel chips.
They're sea chips.
You bastard! You ass! It was gone, dude.
Okay, so are we on? 50. Okay. And welcome to Cast Ranger episode 53, proper gentlemen and ladies of the internet. I apologize that we did not have an episode last week. We did attempt recording it, but due to some technical problems that are mostly my fault, it didn't happen.
Technical difficulties, elbow hit space bar.
Yeah, I'm far away from my keyboard this time.
Wait, let's look.
Still going.
Okay, we're fine.
Wait a minute.
I was half tempted to actually disconnect my keyboard and huck it out of the room so that wouldn't happen.
Ichi, women don't listen to our podcast. Don't be a fool.
That's what you're harping on?
So, we apologize for not having an episode for last week.
CEO viewers, tweet at us. Prove Cell wrong.
So, we're watching a bunch of episodes.
So, yeah, so double episode
special
this week. We're
talking about a lot of stuff.
We're talking about Drive episode 24 and 25 and Ninja episode 6 and 7.
Yeah. All we need is Drive! Drive episode 24, which I called...
Now you may speak.
Fuck you.
We have to put the goddamn title card in, you fucker!
Anyways, Drive episode 24, or as I called it last week because it was never mentioned, how Mach got his groove back.
Yes.
Because that's pretty much what this episode was.
Or rather, how Mach remembered that he always had his groove and he was just being a whiny bitch about it.
Yes.
Also, yeah. Rina made a second belt.
I wonder who that's going to.
Oh, man, I made that second belt to experiment with, I'm like, oh.
Although you're kind of super jumping ahead of it.
We're going to try to go quickly through, like, the episodes that were from last week, because we've, like, we did have thorough discussions about them last week, but they weren't recorded, so.
Plus, we argued about Chaser a lot, and I didn't like that.
Plus, I just want to talk about episode 25, because that was just, blah.
So, Brain salvaged the core of the monster from the previous week, the quick missile shooting dude, and gives him a new body equipped with the neurotoxin. Meanwhile, Kiriko is continuing to nurse Chase, and he almost kills her again.
Mock driver gets repaired.
Rena repairs the mock driver surprisingly quickly. I expected that to take longer.
And Go is just being a little whiny bitch, and he's like,
Give me a signal, something! Drive is evolving, and I'm still the same! I only have two forms!
Just click your heels together three times, Mark.
His arsenal is about, like, six bikes, basically.
I liked his motivation. He's so fixated on the fact that his system is technically superior.
He just doesn't have enough things to
do
it.
Yeah, he's focusing too. He's depressed not because he's discontented with the mock system, but because for some reason he thinks that he's lesser of a man than Drive. Like, he's less of a Kamen Rider.
In layman's terms, get good, scrub.
Precisement.
Yeah. So, so we get a bit more of the backstory on the human who partnered up with the Roid Mute. He was sending joke texts with bomb threats just for entertainment, and then the Roid Mute latched onto him and started making it actually happen.
All I could think of that when, like, when he was just making the explosions for kicks, mm-hmm. was him, like, going to himself, it's all a part of the plan. Like, you know, just joker it up.
And while we were watching, your comment was, I wonder why the cops don't arrest the one kid in the crowd who's smiling at all of these explosions.
Like, hey, Jim, do you think we should question that guy who looks happy about this?
Nah. He's just having a good time.
That doesn't look suspicious to you.
Not at all. Not in this town.
Not in this town with all these crazy shenanigans.
Do they live in Tromaville?
Oh. Dirty, dirty,
derp, 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 derp. So they fight the monster again, and Mach thinks he's got his trick figured out, but it turns out his needles now inflict poison. So Mach grabs one like an idiot and goes down like a bitch. And Kiriko has to manhandle his belt to get Doctor in to cure him.
Yeah, which showed to me that Mad Doctor's broken.
Oh, hey, thank God, I just happened to have that one shift guard that's been missing for the last little while.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
And no one bad eye.
But what was really awesome was that he was still in dead heat when she used it, so technically it was like burst Mad Doctor, and it was just, wow.
Which means more pain.
Yeah, more, he should have died from that.
No, the idea is you will not die in exchange for excruciating amounts of pain!
Yeah.
No pain, no gain.
Literally.
Yeah.
That shift card personifies that statement.
You ever think Mach might be a fetishist?
Now I do.
What? His
I wasn't before!
No!
He wears a suit that could possibly cook him on the inside. He seems to love getting his ass kicked, and he emotionally flagellates himself like crazy in this
Now
episode.
I'm just thinking of David Cronenberg's Crash.
Right?
Fuck you!
He's just so...
For those of you don't know, it's a movie about people who get sexually aroused by car crashes.
Okay.
Oh, is that what that movie's about?
What?
Not the one that came out in 2005 that won the best picture. The one before that. David Cronenberg.
Oh, okay. I was like, Cronenberg. That's what that movie was about?
Cronenberg Morty.
Okay.
Made by a Canadian. We make weird shit.
Oh, good. Even better.
Yep.
So Go gets this speech from Beltsan about how Drive requires all these different things for his evolutions, and Mach is already strong because of the thing that you aren't remembering right now, but it'll come to you.
It was a good discussion, though.
I could solve all of your inner trauma right now by giving you the answer, but I think I'll let you squirm a little more until it's dramatically appropriate, until you're almost about to die, but then you'll figure it out and come back. I'm sure of it.
But nice switch, Glinda. Why didn't you tell me before? You wouldn't have believed me before. I saw you fucking float down here in a bubble. I'll take some shit on faith. Another Wizard of Oz shit going on.
Just saying, a lesson learned on one's own means more than a lesson just handed to someone by a mentor.
Fair.
It's that thing where it's like, I could just tell you, but what the fuck would you learn from that?
No, I agree.
Not when lives are at stake.
Exactly.
Now, if it was just your life, sure, but innocent people.
In the world of fiction, the development of the protagonist sometimes takes a front seat to all of that other bullshit.
I will let 100 people die so that I might experience development.
I, the hero.
I, the one worth saving.
Sometimes,
also,
Dio. Sometimes you have to sacrifice.
Also, that sets stakes for,
sometimes
a hero,
you have to sacrifice.
And let's not forget, these are fictional people
or
who are actually dying. Let's not apply ethics to it.
A.
For several main characters.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, the cat, while they're questioning the kid, whose name either wasn't said or I don't care enough to remember.
I don't remember.
They're questioning him, and Captain just runs in and cuffs him immediately. Isn't this the right one? So, at the same time, another bomb threat gets sent right to the kid's phone, which he was analyzing.
Oh, God.
And so they all run out to either chase the monster or evacuate the citizens. And Gen tells the captain to stay here with the suspect. For some god-awful reason, instead of having them both escape somewhere.
And then the funniest part of this episode is, it's like, alright, we're gonna stay here and be like, man, Q's trying to leave, and just a repeated thing of just, Captain, you're gonna stay, right? You're gonna stay, right? You're gonna stay, right?
And I swear to God, they reused that same footage all three or four times.
Yeah, no, it was hilarious.
I just...
No, Kuri on that! No, Kuri on that! No, Kuri on
that! Stop that! No,
see?
Fucking stop it!
It was just like, it was the same footage.
I just realized something.
What?
The fucking tech geek's name is Q.
Oh, God!
Oh!
Yup!
25 episodes!
Yo, fuck this, I'm going back to China.
25 episodes and none of us picked up on that.
No, and it's also, well, except for Raven, but I found a picture that someone posted online. So, you know, like, the weird, like, arm poses that Drive does during his transformation sequence? No, he's drawing the symbol of Drive.
Yeah, that
he's
was
with his arms.
The
R with his fucking arms.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Was that the point where I said it looks like the captain was taking out a knife?
Oh, yeah, when they all run off and he pulls out his cell phone.
It kind of looked like he was switching a knife out and he was, like, saying stuff. We're gonna stay right here.
Wanna check our fortunes?
He was so intense there. It's just like,
you wanna check our fortunes, kid?
Man,
hey, are
kid,
you prepared
hey,
to die?
I was like,
speaking
hey,
of
kid.
Shit that took 25 episodes.
What?
I don't know whether I wasn't paying attention when other people made the joke, or it just fucking clued in. The extent of the frigging Speed Racer reference that is Mock.
No, really?
Oh, for sure. He wears the white jacket with the red stripes. His rider suit is the same design. His name is Go. Mm-hmm. The rider name is Mock.
Yeah, I know.
I guess all Mock, now he Go. Needs...
Wait, you never real...
Yeah, I know. It literally took me 25 episodes. I either wasn't paying attention or...
We said it on the show!
I guess
like
now...
I wasn't paying attention or something.
He's
or...
the animaniac.
You were on your fucking DS is the problem.
Probably.
I guess yes. Now all he needs is for the Wachowski brothers to fuck him up by making a movie about him.
I liked that movie.
Yeah.
That was like fucking terrific, the movie.
It was a visual trip.
It might as well have just been animated. That's all I'm saying.
It was Screen Wipes the Movie. That was a joke amongst me and some other people.
I will always have a soft spot for that movie simply for the line of, were those ninjas? More like nanjas. Jesus, what the fuck passes for ninjas these days?
Well, that was an Ask a Ninja joke.
Well, you know, John Goodman's
like
just reading
ninja.
Everything.
Terrible
but.
Passes
I'll
for
just,
ninjas.
I just will always like that movie just for the fact of, hey, the end credits are starting. Oh, yeah, the movie's over. Let's get going. Is that the Japanese
Ma,
song?
Go! Yeah, I have that song. It's
go!
Amazing.
Is that all we hear? All we hear? Credit start. Japanese theme song.
Apparently, we're doing the film podcast of my dreams now. Welcome to Flicks and Shit. No.
No, no, we're talking about Mock. We're still somewhat on topic.
I just want to say, though, back to the captain thing. Yeah. Just him flipping the phone order. Hey, kid, want to see a dead body?
It's yours!
So what happened after that?
So, at that point, we see Kiriko and Go on the roof, and they go through a dramatic, heartwarming family flashback. And then, as they're all waiting for the bomb to happen, He activates his form, and like a shit ton of doody-doody alerts come up, and Colorful Commercial just puts out this amazingly detailed holographic display, and I was like, that's cool. Colorful Commercial did a cool thing. So they find the monster. Mach, like, Ryder kicks his missile out of the sky like a boss.
Yeah, that was great.
Yup.
And then they have this nice little exchange. I don't really care about blowing stuff up. I'm just here for the amusement. Yeah, well, I don't care about stopping you blowing stuff up. I just want to kill you.
I'm not in it to save people.
That's Drive's territory.
I just want murder.
Witty banter.
Yeah. And, of course, Mach immediately gets poisoned again.
Again.
And then he literally just...
Like, okay, I want to bring up one thing. That was just a bad shot, because basically you saw Mach from, like, the torso up. So you just... All you see... Like, what he's doing is he's, doing the thing with his belt, but... It just looks like all you see moving is his shoulder and arm going up and down, up and down.
I bet you someone's gift that already.
He looks like he's jacking off.
Which is not helped by what he's actually doing.
Yeah.
He's spamming the throttle.
Exactly.
So he like...
Spam your throttle.
He revs up dead heat, he gets super hat, and then he like bursts the meter. So he's like... He's gone full Fang Joker, but he's still in control.
I'll burst my meter later tonight. Oh.
Giggity. But, so he's still in control, even though he's in the dead zone. So he kicks the monster's ass, but of course, Type Formula jumps in.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I wish he let Go finish
the fight.
Yeah,
Go was actually like, damn it, Shin-Nissan, why didn't you sit this one out? And But Belt was like, no, we gotta do this.
We can't fuck around anymore.
But I want to sit it. I want to sit it out. Then, no, we gotta go.
They did this hilarious.
I want to let him do this. No.
They did this hilarious combo move where he activates Jackie and then like springboards Mach up into the air as they both activate their Hisan.
I just thought of like Sonic's move from Smash Brothers, his up move.
Yeah, yeah. That was the up E and then the homing attack.
Yeah.
So the monster's dead. The core explodes, and then we get more antics from the captain and the kid whose name I still don't care about. So he comes in and he's all serious face and he's like, when you pay your debt, you come find me. And Shinosuke's like, what the fuck happened? Something about forming a bond under the shadow of death.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like,
they became the broest of bros while trying to not die together.
During the countdown to the final bomb, you just see them like going like,
hugging each other and crouching on the floor.
10 seconds!
Yeah, and like, after the bomb timer had, like, passed and they were, like, slowly realizing that they were alive, every second they played that little sound effect that happens every time he talks. It was like watching a weird episode of 24.
I fucking love the captain.
Oh yeah. Especially next episode.
He's my favorite part of the show.
He's so great.
So, because Mach has a confidence boost, he realizes he doesn't need a power-up, yeah, so he refuses it, which is still pretty dumb, I think.
Well, not even that. I'm like, you fucker, she made that thing for you. Yeah. And you just go, no, I don't need it.
And then he spouts his catchphrase and runs off. And it's like, well, fuck
and
you
And because
too.
He's young and good-looking, no one's gonna care.
No, exactly.
Pretty much.
But then we see that she's actually made a second belt for him to experiment with, which assumedly has this power-up, and now they don't need it. So now we're all like, ooh, I wonder who's getting that. Immediate cut to Chase, who's left his hospital and wandering around holding Kiriko's flowers.
Holding an oddly phallic flower.
two of them, even.
Yeah, just drops the flower and then just...
No. He holds on to it to the next episode and then he crushes it while he's standing in the woods.
Yeah, just crushes it. Next scene. Okay.
I thought I cared, but I guess not.
So... Then, I just want to bring one thing up that we saw in, like, the after credits. Now, at this point, have we seen Chase in his, like, normal Kamen Rider form yet? Like,
no, the Kamen Rider Chaser is next week.
Okay, so that was something that's new next week, right?
Yeah.
Okay, look, I understand, like, you guys, you know, you check the shout out ahead of time.
Yeah.
But I'm like, geez, spoilers!
Oh, yeah, at the end of episode 25, they show a preview of Kamen Rider Chaser, and they show you his form.
Like, you know, yeah. Granted, I understand Rider it's pretty
does,
obvious that he was going
to
be him.
These shows do that.
I said that. Basically...
These shows do that all the time.
This does it's stupid. This doesn't make sense to me, and I agree with you completely. You do a show like this, and you have that form be in the next episode. You have the cliffhanger, and then you have the form in the next episode... And you want that to be a surprise. That's the hook for wanting to see the episode. You find out, ooh, Kamen Rider Chase is showing up. I wonder what he's going to look like. After the credits, they show you exactly what he's going to look like. Probably the exact same footage they're going to show when you do the whole camera around him after he henshins kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. No, but this is what they like to do. They like to build hype before.
See, but that's not building hype.
That's not the point, though. That they're showing the main hook of the next episode after the previous episode.
That's showing the better part of the movie in the trailers.
Exactly. Yeah.
And spoiling the twist, not to mention.
Yeah, but no, like, that was the other thing, but we'll get to that in the next episode.
The twist, he says.
The twist, it fucking says.
There was the one other thing that we sort of brought up on the failed recording that I did kind of want to touch on.
Oh, yeah, because it was at the end of episode 24 also, so.
Well, just the thing about, like, yeah. Hart was watching Mach when he was in, like, the Berserk mode, but still in control. I really hope they go somewhere with that.
Oh, you think Hart's going to form, like, a grudge against Mach because he was able to control the Dead Zone?
I don't think
it
would be a grudge. I think it would be more like an interest where, like...
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, like, remember I was saying, it was like with Ryoma's fascination of Coda when he became Kiwami.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be like Hart just starts, like, picking fights with Go just to, like, get him into that mode and then, like, maybe learning from it to control the Dead Zone thing.
Oh, you know I expect that,
you know what's an interesting? You know what's an interesting theory? If I may, do you mind if I just take a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, the Mach driver, improved version of the drive driver, right?
That's what we're told.
Yes, and so you assume the technology is basically an upgrade of that, right? Now, in order to upgrade something, a lot of the times you look at a separate piece of technology and you take the positives from that piece of technology and add it to yours in order to make it better. Roidmudes are robots, right?
Mm-hmm.
People made robots?
Yes.
A person who was Steinbelt's associate made them.
So, what if the drive driver... What if the Mach driver is the drive driver after they incorporated some Roidmute technology?
Technically, everything being used is Roidmute technology.
No, I know that, but I mean more directly.
No. The Roidmutes are powered by the same stuff as the shift guards.
The core Drivias.
Purely out of the sense of the associate was almost done the Roidmutes and then went, hey, this thing could power them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That went well.
But at the same time, what I'm trying to say is, I mean more closely to Roidmute technology. I mean, they actually had a Roidmute, they cut it open, that's cool. Put it in the back.
Your theory's pretty solid, given the fact that, based on the toy, we know that the Mach driver can use virus cores, whereas we know that the drive system does not.
Exactly, and the fact that Mach has the ability to manipulate the Dead Zone to a certain degree, just like Hart.
And it's pretty safe to assume that when Chaser kicks into action, he'll be using... the viral course.
From what we understand, better than Hart, isn't it? Isn't Hart all but hurt because...
because Mach is able to control the Dead Zone.
Completely.
Yeah.
And let's even not, he can't do that.
Yeah.
And let's yet. not forget, in the true spirit of Gaim and some other common writers in terms of this sort of trope, Hart's... this sounds really stupid. Hart's red. His super form adds red to his outfit.
Yeah.
Although
that doesn't have to do with Hart, that's more because the Dead Heat is literally drive plus Mach.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. I'm just saying it's a nice little parallel sort of
thing. Oh, absolutely.
If they're going to be pairing Hart and Go as a sort of dichotomy, it's a really interesting motif that they went with.
I mean, like, Mach's already got red on him. Plus Hart is like a heart and red blood cells, white blood cells, if you want to go that far.
It's a bit stretching, yeah. But at the same time, I think I like the fact that they're meshing them together sort of thing. I like the fact that he could be just saying, damn you, Drive, I'll get you next time. But he's like, no.
He's had really very little interaction with Drive except for that one or two times they fought.
Doesn't interest him, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Mach interests him. And it's interesting because, like, Hart? Here's something interesting about Hart. He doesn't feel like the main villain to me.
I know, right? It seems like Medic is really the villain right now.
Right?
And exactly. Brain's just the sniveling whatever.
Hart's just having fun.
Is he? Is he? Lately, he's just been really sad that all his friends are dying.
Yup. Hart, to me, just seems like he's the charismatic leader of the Roidmutes.
And he's a benevolent leader.
Yeah, he's a lot more concerned about the safety of his people than he is about fucking with humans.
Uh-huh.
Like, because they're designed...
the thing
by
is...
by their design in just that... he's very heartfelt in everything he does versus Brain, who thinks about everything very literally and logically.
But and the thing is, I don't know if this is a cause of
medic
or
gives one hell of a hand job.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a cause of or result of. I don't know if this is a cause of or a result of Hart being the way he is, but we still know almost zero about what their actual objective and endgame are.
No, I understand that. And have you ever noticed that whenever...
To conquer Earth!
Whenever Hart refers to Chaser, he always refers to him as his good friend.
Yeah.
Someone who believes in protecting Roid Mutes and, well, humans, I guess, but he's also part of the human species sort of thing.
Yeah.
He believes in protecting his people.
We did hear something about them having a promise that if Hart ever went into the dead zone, Chase would stop him.
Yeah.
Which he did.
Yeah, and I suppose they are very good friends, but at the same time, it's the person who believes in protecting his own just as much as Hart.
Yeah. Which is funny because he spent a large portion of his career shooting his own kind.
And they've been hitting on this theme of Roid
but not destroying them.
Yeah.
They've been hitting...
This Roid Mute is going astray from the past.
You fucked up, I'ma reset you.
Exactly. He wasn't killing them, he was more saving them. You fucked up, you're probably gonna catch some attention that we don't want, and so we're gonna help save you by just reverting you back to your base thing.
We're gonna de-evolve you.
Yeah. I mean, like...
Still protected.
Well, guys, we know what the Roid Mute's goal was.
Maybe we saw it in episode one, for fuck's sake.
Maybe you'll get a better EV spread this time.
Oh. Did you guys really forget about the global freeze?
Yeah.
That was what they wanted to do. They wanted to fuck up humanity.
Did they?
Yeah, they
it happened, but
they killed them with giant bowling pins!
Yeah, but we didn't see Hart or Brain or any of them do that. For all we know, those were wild.
No, because they were no, but if the prototype special showed us anything, they were behind
Hart there.
They were they weren't there. They were controlling it from where they were.
Hart was the one that killed Protodrive.
Right.
Supposedly.
Pretty much
it's
no.
Chase,
pretty
but,
much
you know.
In terms it's MGS4 Ocelot just going activate it.
There's still a lot about that whole time period that we're not 100% on.
Yes, but at the same time, it's entirely possible that the global freeze was just a way to... Just basically showing mankind their strength as a more of a don't fuck with us.
Don't try anything.
That's fine.
We're going to cause worldwide destruction.
And
leave us alone,
and
okay?
Then completely vanish aside from a few completely isolated incidents for little to no reason.
We're going to cause all this destruction, but leave us alone.
But here's the thing, another motif that the show has been using...
We can fuck you up. Don't come after us.
...is the fact that they keep showing... They've done multiple episodes on the fact that Roid Mutes aren't all evil. Like, they've done multiple episodes on the fact that they're really only...
They copy evil people.
Yeah, and also because of humanity's perceived invader mentality. They're new, they've come, they were somewhat hostile at the beginning, regardless of why they did it, but then they vanished, but they're a thing. And so, have you ever noticed that Shinosuke and the rest of the people, whenever they have these episodes about Roid Mutes can be good people too, they're very don't trust a Roid Mute?
Yeah.
The Drive crew is extremely xenophobic.
Yeah,
not all of them.
Ninja episode.
No, I know, but that's non-canon. That was the point.
It doesn't matter. It's still a characterization of the character.
No, I know, but my point is not all of them are xenophobic. Some of them, yes, but
Kiriko
and Q.
They almost always start xenophobic. Start xenophobic. They are at their base xenophobic.
But the thing is,
when
the only basis for judging the species they have is the global freeze, it's kind of hard to reach that far. But then when Kiriko realized that Chase was the one who saved her, Roid Mutes can be good. When Q had his encounter with the Roid Mute, immediate change. They needed some evidence that it was possible.
Hell, Shinosuke got pissed off when Medic killed that one guy.
Exactly.
You're missing my point. The show is trying to portray the Roid Mutes as more morally and ethically ambiguous than they're being portrayed, and I think Hart is at the heart of that, because in the end, he's not evil. He's a he's just another, like, person who's...
I don't think we can call him not evil until we actually know what their objective is. For all we know, he could actually want to kill all humans.
No, I can tell you this, he's not evil right now. He mourns for every single death in the show.
Of his own kind, anyways.
He even kind of feels bad when there's senseless human murder. When they don't deserve it, Hart sometimes goes, "Ugh, I really wish that didn't have to happen. That person was actually kind of decent."
But then why is he happily supervising the global freeze and watching people get destroyed and killed all over the time?
Because like Evan stated, the global freeze was probably just a show of...
It was an inside job.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with killing people, but only some of the time.
Listen, the global freeze is just time-stopping for a bit. That doesn't cause destruction.
Well, no, but he watched as his subordinates actually killed people.
I don't remember exactly where, but I believe it was mentioned earlier in the series. There weren't actually a lot of casualties during that.
But the point is there were, and he condoned
No, there were some. But there were surprisingly few compared to what could have happened.
Because Proto Drive was there.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going in circles again.
Yeah, let's continue
anyway,
on the episode.
So, episode 25. So, the crew is sitting there playing cards for some stupid reason, and in stomps Captain Nera, the head of the First Division.
I'd like to point out, too, Q's dolls were holding cards, too.
Yeah.
Just nice little thing in the background. Hmm. Yeah, Nera pops in.
I hate him so much.
And he's, like, complete archetypal douchebag who finds the whole department worthless, despite what their actual accomplishments are. And of course they can't, Tamari can't come out about what they've actually accomplished because he's still trying to keep being Drive a secret.
I'm just picturing him going, "Did you guys save all of Japan?
Yeah.
You totaled 3 cars!
But he mentions something really interesting when he sees Tamari. "I owe a lot to your dearly departed father." I'm sorry, hold on a minute. So Tamari's dad is dead, A. B. Why is he dead? What happened? See? You are a dick for bringing that up!
Ichi, have you never seen a movie about a renegade cop who plays by the rules and drives a fast car? Of course his father was a cop and he's dead in the line of duty! He's gotta be inspired by some fucking shit to not
but
play by the
rules! But
you
think that would be important enough to mention sooner than episode 25?!
No,
right?
Can't just be of his own volition!
I'm just thinking
you
of the
moment...
You know
who followed the rules? No. I did!
I'm thinking of that moment from the Starsky and Hutch movie where just the cops going up to just like the captain would just go up to Shinosuke. "I knew your father. He was one of the greatest cops of all time," and just shows his, "I'm not my father."
It's like what you were saying earlier. "You knew who followed the rules? My dad."
Do you want my
you
badge?
That
you want my
got
badge?
Him?
Okay,
did.
Here's my badge. No, I'm just kidding. I was just making
a point.
He said
killed, by the way.
Yeah.
"They got him killed."
Is him holding his badge lane? What?
No, like, in Starsky and Hutch, she's like, "Oh, you want my badge? All right, here's my badge." No, I was kidding. I was just making a point.
"Here's my rider belt."
Just the giant badge from Muppets Most Wanted.
Yeah.
And fun fact, some of the scoring in this episode, in terms of the music, is basically just a few inverted chords to Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Okay.
Notice
that?
Yes.
So this was a really cool episode too because we got introduced to a new Roid Mew called the Neo Roid Mew, which is a Roid Mew that apparently can fuse with a human if they agreed to it.
Which was really cool.
Yeah. Would you like to form a contract?
So we got this super awesome, like, violent criminal that was escaped jail or something.
A cop killer.
A cop killer.
Which, by the way, when they brought that up, I was like, okay.
Did he kill Tamari's dad?
His father?
Excuse me.
Which surprisingly they didn't
yes,
go to.
Excuse
me.
Not
where they went with it.
Excuse me. Can I please bring up the fact that, you know how I've been saying that Drive is often reminds me of Spider-Man and might just be a Japanese allegory for him?
Mm-hmm.
Can I just bring up the fact that this is an escaped psychopath who bonded symbiotically with another being and became a red blood-like creature with black spots all
Damn
over it?
Carnage!
Hi, Carnage.
Exactly. This is the episode where Kamen Rider Drive fought Carnage.
It is. He even
with
had
swords.
He even had the pointy shoes.
He did.
I'm sorry. That just to me ruined the entire effect. It looked like it was a good monster suit. Then you look at the feet.
The fucking court jester shoes.
Yeah.
And also this fucking. I'm sorry. I'm just one more thing. This Captain Nera guy. He's such a fucking asshole all over the place, and he's just barking at everybody.
And my bashing people with his fan.
My first thought was, wow, J. Jonah Jameson just walked in. And then at the very end, there's just that... I'm not giving away the ending, but there's a shot of him at his desk where he's just like... He's just like, coming right up!
I want pictures of Spider-Man, sir.
Pictures of Kamen Rider!
Sir, this is a police officer. Then I want arrests!
You might as well...
Gunshots!
You might as well have just had, like, his secretary come in with, like, this 1960s ending with, like, the letter from Spider-Man. It's like, Dear Jameson, I've caught the real criminal, and you've slandered my name for the last time, so I'm going to kill you. Signed, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. No! That's just how I see the end of this episode.
It's funny that you compare him to Spider-Man because Drive is also red and black.
There you go.
That's been my point the entire time, and he wisecracks!
Yeah.
So then we get back to Hart and his crew, and they've switched rooms again!
Again!
Like, they keep doing this!
They keep relocating bases for no established
reason. They're
like
in a church at one point, a warehouse!
And the interesting thing is, based on the first shot, you think he's like standing in a room like... over, like, a gaping void into the sky.
No, it's just a projector.
But no, it's just it's like a painted floor with, like, an animated projector hologram of the sky.
I love
those
things.
Something like that.
Could you imagine if, like, they intended for that to be an effect? Like, no, he's actually in the sky.
But we can only get this...
I was just sitting there going, please, for the love of Christ, tell me that's not the effect. I was just like,
even
no.
I realized that was just the floor.
Wanted to believe that it was just. I was like, please tell me that's not
the
effect.
Was
the
budget really low
with
this week?
Can you imagine if they could only afford like a 6x6 square of green screen?
No, the budget was totally shot for the week because of last week.
Just delay, like big thing of green. We need a big thing of green fabric on the floor in order to do like a green screen effect in order to have it make it look like it's the sky. We can only get a 6x6 for it.
Well, shit.
We'll see!
Break out the Bristol board!
Right. That wouldn't work.
So then, back in the pit, they're just like, oh, we need to search for this Roy Mute. So, like, I was like, oh, I'll search them off with the signal bikes.
And the funniest thing ever, you know how we keep talking about how dumb it is when Shinosuke does stuff with the shift brace? He looks at it like it's an actual watch.
Late for the meeting.
And realizes he's late.
Oh, yeah, I remember that
clock
thing.
On
that's
that thing?
Not a watch.
I don't know what that thing has anymore, because actually some sort of holographic display came up on it last time this happened.
Maybe he was just doing, like, one of those, oh, look at the time.
It's quarter past
the front. I have a doctor's appointment at the dentist.
Quarter past the shift car.
It's quarter past, gotta get the fuck out of here.
I have a doctor's appointment at the dentist.
It's secretly an Apple Watch. It just does everything.
Fuck Apple Watches.
I'd buy that sooner than an Apple Watch.
I'd buy that
for
a dollar.
So they realize that they are now dealing $1.50, with...
$1.50, fuck it.
So they realize that they're dealing with a human and a Roy Mute fused together through the power of fusion summoning.
And symbiosis.
So they have to modify the belt. So you just see Rena's like, all right, belt's done. Belt's like, no, don't
be gentle. Takes him off camera behind her and just takes a fucking drill to his face.
Again, more fetishism in this show.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's the first time Steinbelt's been drilled in a while.
No, he's got anally raped! And
in the face!
And he's a belt!
Paul, you got raped in the face.
Right. Raped in the face.
What is this? In the face?
What is this, Aliens?
No, it's Hamlet 2.
No, it's Hamlet 2!
Oh, God.
I love Hamlet 2.
I haven't seen that in so long.
So, cut back to the pit, or the Tokujo department, and fucking, because they're so amazed that the cops all now know that Drive is... and Mach are real things. They fucking shoop up terrible little type speed and Mach masks.
Apparently, yeah, this has been going around on the internet. So like a guy like posted a picture of two figure arts and they had those masks on. It was just like amazing.
So Q's wearing the type speed one and the captain
just like,
got
whoa!
I can't get over that.
They actually play the sounds type speed. Mach.
Just more utter randomness.
I can't get over the fact that his name is Q.
Yep. Q.
Well, Mr. Ryder, I devised this pen bomb for you to use.
Oh, grow up, Kamen Rider Drive.
Your bike will now have an ejector seat.
No, if you press this button on the Trider on,
Check the seats, you're joking. I never joke about my
time check.
So then we discover that Taga, like the cop killer, was apparently arrested by Hayase, so he's
which
like,
explains why the monster ran off saying, I knew who I'm going after first.
So then Shinosuke is like, I calls Hayase, and he's like, wait, what? Like, no, I can't just leave here. And he's like, no, you have to. Like, if you do, if you stay, like, you're gonna risk all these people's lives.
Meanwhile, Kiriko, because they need a sample of an advanced roid mute to upgrade Beltsan to only separate the human instead of killing it.
Which is stupid.
Tracks down Chase in the woods randomly, because I guess because she threw Hunter after it earlier, actually. And of course, Q follows her because Tamari realized she was acting weird. So I think it's great that Q was the one sent to spy on her, because if anyone would believe her that good roid mutes exist, it would be him.
Mm-hmm. He even mentioned that, like,
yeah,
saying, like, well, I suppose...
Yeah. I immediately believe what you just said.
Right? I have met one.
That is exactly what... That is more or less exactly what he just said. It's like, go with him, it's fine, he's good. I immediately believe you. Come on, let's go.
Well, number one, they've known each other for how long?
Exactly, that's my point.
It's just...
Yeah, they've known each other for that long, but at the same time, you know, roid mutes can take different forms and stuff like that. You could think it was... But... He just said, nope, ain't a trick. I completely believe you, 100%. Let's go save the world. And she starts talking to Chase, yeah, and the forest, and she needs a sample. Here's the issue. Is there anything left? He's still sort of fighting with his programming, right?
Assumedly.
Yeah.
Although we don't know what effect has happened to him as a result of... we're assuming that one of his cores was destroyed and he may have more. That hasn't been explained.
That's just fine, but does he still feel really, really weird about killing roid mutes?
It hasn't come up yet because he's been in the hospitals until now.
Well, I'm just going to throw this out here. By giving her that sample, he guaranteed the fact that some roid mutes were going to die.
Well...
But a human would be saved, which was originally his programming before Brain and Medic started fucking.
They needed the sample to save a human life.
Yeah.
he has conflicting bits of programming in it.
Yeah, so you just see him take the brain gunner and he shoots himself. He's like, huh.
One thing to note, I thought it was interesting that he went from his prototype Zero form and Henshin right to Machine Chaser from there. I thought that was cool. And then, yeah, he shoots off a bit of his armor and leaves it for her and walks off.
Who knows?
I would imagine that this newer programmed Chase, like that Heart and Medic reprogrammed, would only really use his human form as camouflage, and also the show would only really use it just to have the shots.
I'm like, A, who is he hiding from? And B, everyone knows his human form already.
I still think Mad Doctor knocked all the Jesus out of him.
That's possible.
Or put the Jesus into him.
Oh.
Tomato, tomato.
So, Hayase decides to confront the sword and ruin me when he gets there. Because
it's me you want!
And he's trying...
Because there's a lot of freaking patients in that hospital and he can't get out and... Hey, I'm the one you're after, come after me.
So he, like, tries fighting him, and I'm like, no, you fucker,
I like how Hayase is standing perfectly still because of his crutch, yet the sword roid mute somehow still misses his first swipe.
Yeah. Yeah. And then try to run comes, shoot some shit.
Scream.
Missing him.
Cops come in, they try shooting the roid mute, it's not doing anything.
And I'm like, this isn't Kuga, regular cop bullets don't do jack shit yet.
And so then, like, Shinosuke's having a struggle because he's like, oh, I need to fucking transform, but people everywhere, and then he's like, Rina, give me the fucking belt!
First issue is more the belt wasn't there.
And then Rina's like, I got the belt, Shinosuke!
I mean,
like, no, don't do it!
As usual, I finished the modifications to the belt with perfectly dramatic timing. Here, catch. Whoops, everyone's around. Guess not.
And then Shinosuke's just like, fuck it, I don't care. Just give me the belt. Transforms in front of everyone and just reveals that, he's...
Shinosuke-ga, Kamurai-da Doraibu!
Okay, just quickly, after the fight, it's really funny because Mock's there too. After he just goes behind Q and Gen and he just de-henshines and they're like,
cool! And we were joking that... I wonder if he did that just out of habit and didn't actually mean to untransform in front of them.
I think he was just being, hey, why the fuck not?
Identities for everyone!
No, I think, in the case of Go, I think he honestly, I don't think he's been bothering to try and keep his a secret.
Episode is a metaphor for civil war!
Oh.
What?
Secret Identities.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, the Marvel
Civil War. The conflict between the revelation and not revelation of Secret Identities, and Spider-Man was the first to show his!
Crap.
And then that bit him in the ass.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, and then we find out the greatest twist of this episode was that...
Wait, no. So we should mention that to separate the human from the Roidmude, he used that Hisatsu from episode 1 that we haven't seen since.
No, I just found it funnier.
Yes, his OG rider kick.
I'm here. I'm in fucking tight formula right now. I'm beating the shit of this guy. Quickly, to do the thing, you must switch back to type speed.
I guess they only installed the data in that form.
I guess.
Lane, what were you going to say?
I'm willing to buy that.
Okay, well...
And no, it's like, yeah. No, if you use type formula, you're just going to fucking break them.
The guys who wrote this episode remembered, oh yeah, there's that rider kick he has that he hasn't used in forever. Let's throw it back in.
It's okay. It's not a big deal. Anyways, okay. So they get to the pit, and then Q just does this funny thing where he's like, oh my god! They have this like really funny sound that I have to kept hearing over and over again because it was super funny. But then the big reveal of this episode was apparently the captain was in on everything the entire time because Krim's like, oh yeah, he's an old colleague of mine.
Because of course he was.
How else do you think the pit is underneath the same department?
I know. How did you get
episode you see them walk around the corner and
it's the door next door.
Oh.
It is literally the next door. And down a set of stairs.
Wow.
Hey, what's this door that you guys are always going through? Oh, that's just a broom closet. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Next fucking door. How else did we get that room for the fucking pit?
I forgot to mention this, but there's a scene where they're riding in the, like, Shinosuke's driving in the Tridron with Gen, and like, that's Thrive's car! How do you not know this by now?
Thank you!
I've been saying this the whole show!
Because Gen hasn't necessarily seen Tridron.
But it looks like something he would drive, so how would he not know?
Yeah, point. Gen hasn't necessarily seen the Tridron. He's an idiot. Gen has seen Drive how many times in the course of this show?
I love Gen.
He wasn't even aware of what color the whole suit was until fairly recently.
Yeah. All right, anyways, so next week's episode is Chaser. I'm excited for
the
big reveal.
The last bit about this episode.
There is something important, Lane.
Oh. So the captain walks in with the big reveal, and they're like, oh, thank God, I don't have to worry about hiding from you guys anymore. Oh yeah, Shinosuke, says the captain. The whole world's eyes are gonna be on you. I posted about your identity on the mass media. Bitch, did you just Tony Stark me?
I am the Kamen Rider.
Well, one of them.
Also.
By the way, Go's War Machine.
Another Fast Cars and Suave Bastards movie reference. This was Roidmude 007.
Yep.
Indeed.
And their tech guy's name is Q. I'm not letting that go.
No, you're not.
No. But anyways, next week, episode 26.
Here's your episode title. That guy's name is Q.
The debut of Kamen Rider Chaser. I'm excited. He's going to be cool.
His final form be called Kamen Rider Aston? Drive Aston Arms or whatever the fuck.
How much you want to bet Aston?
How much you want to bet his music's gonna go?
Well, it's already type speed is like.
Roidmude 007 still around.
Yeah,
the core wasn't destroyed and got picked up by another Roidmude that we number one.
Yeah.
I was about to mention number one. Didn't mention the 01 showed up.
Yeah, which means that Hart isn't number one.
Yeah,
I thought he was.
This makes me wonder what number Heart actually is.
They were wondering who made that core in the first place, and no one, it's Heart, none of them.
And Heart was like, no, okay, if it wasn't Brain, I think I have an idea of who it was.
Yeah,
and then a random
Roy
dude shows up. Yeah, probably him.
New overlord level
probably
antagonist.
Yeah. So,
all right,
this episode starts with some ninja midterms.
Fuko got kidnapped, the end.
Okay,
Pretty much.
I just need to give my absolute 2 cents on this episode. This is the only thing I'll need to say about this episode. This episode was by far the worst episode of the Ninja ever.
So it's like the episode 7 of Tokuger.
Yeah. Absolutely nothing new was brought to the table.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. Aka Ninja was being him. Ao Ninja and Ki Ninja didn't really do anything but contributed. Momo Ninja was an absolute badass, and Shirou Ninja did nothing.
Okay.
No. Nothing new was brought to the table.
Nothing was new with the Ninjas. But the other side characters got a lot of shit involved. The father was really upset over the fact that he couldn't do anything to save his daughter and why he was never trained in ninjutsu, and then the grandfather was
you were never capable.
I feel like that explanation is a little hollow.
Yeah.
We knew he was inept in mentality.
We never got an explanation as to why that is.
Fuck it, they're Joestars.
Okay. What's her face? QAnon and confronted the grandfather, and the grandfather's just like, whatever.
Yeah, we
sprouted a goddamn rapier from her hammer.
We learned something about about QAnon's aim, though, in that episode.
Yeah.
It's like, there's something called the End Shuriken, which she thinks Grandpa has, but Grandpa says he doesn't.
And they also mentioned that you didn't actually completely seal Kiba Oni means that you couldn't use the End Shuriken properly. And he retorts with, it's not that I couldn't, I chose not to. And that is a lot.
Because I wanted to be a dick to my grandkids.
Yeah.
Or Kiba Oni's his wife.
With that voice, I hope not.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God. So apparently, the kids are doing their ninja midterms, and of course everyone does okay except Takaharu, because he can't control his amazing power. And he burns himself to a fucking crisp.
Because he's just so great.
Yeah.
Can I say something about Takaharu
real quick? Fucking Naruto!
All right, Crunchman.
I am so tired of Reds like Takaharu.
I fucking hate him!
I liked him in episode 1, but once you realize what kind of personality he's got... I'm fucking annoying.
Do you mean Red Ranger?
No, but not even.
I keep saying, I find Light better than this guy.
Other Red Rangers with similar personalities didn't drive me anywhere near this nuts. Daigo from Choryuger, I loved.
Do you know who this guy honestly reminds me of? Like, Raven, Kevin, like, your rendition, when you guys did your Digimon Abridged, the whole, I'm the leader!
Raven hates us bringing that up.
Why are you ashamed of that? It was great.
It's true. I'm the leader!
Revolution!
Yeah, leader! Just... as he goes into battle, that's, his whole personality. I'm the red one, I'm better.
No, but have you noticed that whenever he's, I'm getting so fired up! He's got this look on his face
kill me!
Why am I here?
I feel like that's a really, phoned-in Uchukita.
Absolutely!
Very much so.
He's like, I'm getting fired up!
Vortecta!
No, fucking
him. He stopped believing halfway through up. He just didn't believe it.
I'm gonna win, I guess. I don't know.
The only thing about Takaharu that I like is when they destroy the monster at the end of the episode, he's just like,
Washoi!
Yeah, just like how he's like, Washoi! That's the only thing I like.
If I want more Washois, I'll just listen to the ending.
But yeah, just going back to my original point.
Honestly,
hold on, Crunchman's saying a thing.
Just going back to my original point, we've had 3 seasons in a row where we've had Red Rangers who are hyper as all hell and optimistic as all hell, and it's only near the end of the show where they kind of drop a little bit in tone. I'm just can we get the Brooders back, Takaru?
Can we
get Marvelous back?
Thank you.
Yes!
Yeah, absolutely. But
fucking
here's the difference. Takaharu is annoying. Light was just boring.
To be fair,
Daigo was actually awesome.
Marvelous is a Red Ranger dum-dum. There just happened to be good writing behind that as far as character development. But he did still very much have that core Red Ranger hothead.
Yeah.
Disregard logic.
See, episode one. Oh, you saved us. No, I fought them because they fucked up my food.
See, you know, no. It's the whole Monkey D. Luffy type personality Japan just loves for some reason.
Yeah. It's like Goku's the same way. Kind of a dumbass, but he knows
not
the shit
kind
when it comes
of,
to martial arts.
Not kind like, of. Kind certified. Of? It's the whole, like, I don't understand, like, over there, I guess they just like this whole, he's a dumbass, he actually doesn't want to take anything seriously, but he still gets the job done. Like, blow me.
Yeah, I'm just so tired
Naruto.
Of this red,
I was like, he's Naruto.
I agree with you, Crunchman. I completely agree with
Anyways,
you.
Anyways, so.
Japan, if you're going to take the advice of this small podcast, I think you should, by the way, you know, start changing up your Sentai Red Rangers.
Yeah. Anyway, so they take the exam, and Taka's gotta retake it, but oh no, there's a clarinet Tengu monster attacking.
Which, by the way, great monster.
Yes.
it was monster.
It was stupid, but I liked it.
Yeah.
It had wings. I'm not even sure if that's part of the motif.
Tengu.
Is it? Okay, I wasn't even
aware of
it.
Yeah. The Tengu from Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah, the Tengas.
Tengu.
Yes, no, and
what it was the TV show versus the movie. One said Tengu, one said Tengu. I don't know. Fuck it. So
their loudest ass sigh just came out of my mouth.
Yeah, I know. So the monster's attack. Shut up. The monster's attacking, but the father decides, no, Taka, you've got to retake your exam. Everyone else, go fight the monster.
You know, maybe
you
this
do
is
know
why...
we need all five of us to do anything, right?
You know, maybe this is why you failed at being a ninja there, Dad.
Priorities are clearly in order.
Not in order.
Your mentality is stupid.
Yeah, so...
mentality is stupid.
They still haven't actually explained that.
Nor will they ever.
Probably not. But, so Gabi shows up because he's only interested in fighting Red, but he's not here. So he fucks up the others with his amazing new technique we see for the first of three times this episode... Raiden Giri! Which translates to Lightning Wraith Strike.
It's actually really cool.
Which I guess they loved using that shot so much they used it three times.
Yeah.
Within 5 minutes of each other.
Well, not really. That was the first
time.
Okay,
not the first time.
And then he used it twice against Aka Ninja later.
Like, within...
yeah. So, Fuka gets kidnapped by the Tengu and gets literally spirited away by the Tengu into the demon jazz flute zone.
which me and Paul were like, if hell's full of jazz, I can take the heat.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time. What are you doing down there? Not smoking reefer, that's what I'm not doing.
It's funny, because this Monday's 420.
Oh!
Blaze them! Up!
Contemporary jazz.
So, the dad goes through this whole scene where he feels really bitter that he can't do jack shit to save his daughter.
As you should.
Confronts his father, who just straight up tells him, yeah, you suck balls at ninjutsu, so I didn't I did not even bother.
The grandpa remains to be the best thing about this show.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I do like the show overall, but just like...
So we get this hilarious shot of Fuka in the jazz dimension, and there's a bunch of floating clarinets playing very pleasant music, but it's hurting her. And then just a lightning bolt out of the face on the wall.
Yeah. If that isn't a euphemism for sex, I don't know what is. Surrounded by phallic symbols.
Now excuse me while I go watch Naked Lunch.
Right? I wanna go watch Giant Bug talk on its ass.
This is a Cronenberg episode, damn it.
So then we see the shot of Ishitaka, the grandfather, confronting Kyuemon in the forest, and they have that conversation about the End Shuriken. And like I said, Kyuemon suddenly her hammer grows a dick in the form of a fence of a sword. And she tries to fight him with it.
Where that came from?
Yeah, I don't know. She just has random jutsus and no one cares to explain. Fuck it. So they fight a bit and he confuses her with his, like, bunshins and then gets away. It's pretty fun. So then they meet the monster on the beach and Fuka gets let out because Gabi only wants to fight Aka Ninja. And then the rest of them team up against the Tenga, and the Tengu, whatever. And then Fuka actually manages to kind of do the one thing that's not been useless the whole show so far. she pins the thing with her shadow. That was a pretty neat
movie. Oh, yeah, that was a cool shot.
I'm like, congrats, Fuka. You did a thing.
That was actually cool.
You did a really commonly known ninja trick.
Yeah. Which was, I appreciate that. That's just a cool
We'll talk fun. About how terrible ninjas they actually are for the next episode.
Congratulations, you're Shikamaru.
So Takaharu manages to...
Congratulations, you're every fictional ninja ever.
So Taka manages to actually injure Gabi and knock off one of his horns with a giant shuriken spinball attack. Good job, Sonic the Hedgehog. So, and then, whatever, they use Power Mar to defeat the giant Tengu monster, and at the end of the episode, the other red ninjas show up.
Yeah, we see the red Kaku Ranger and the red Hurricaneer, and I was just like, oh yeah!
Can I just say I love the Kaku Ranger suit?
Oh, yeah. I've gone on record before saying the ninja suits have been are consistently my favorite Power Ranger Sentai suits.
I have to say my favorite is Hurricaneer.
I love the helmets from Hurricaneer.
Oh,
they're pretty badass.
You know what the red Hurricaneer helmet looks like? Mm-hmm. Baron.
Yeah,
I can sort of see it.
Yeah.
Like Baron had a love child with Ryugen.
A little bit, yeah. So, episode 7 starts with the Ranger sparring as the uncle almost gets decapitated.
As is tradition.
What's cool I liked about the father is that he was, like, explaining, he's like, yeah, it sucks that I never got to learn ninjutsu, and I was kind of hoping to learn some things by watching you guys, but, because, like, I realized, like, I couldn't protect Fuka when she got kidnapped or whatever, I couldn't help. But, you know what, if you guys are getting better, I can let it go and just... leave it to you guys.
Off-screen character development, go!
So, in exchange, I brought you some sensei.
Imagine if, like, later down the line, he pulls, like, a Shinken Brown sort of...
Oh, and tries to actually be a ninja?
To help.
Can that happen, please? Can we have Brown funny. Ninja?
I'm rooting for the father in this
He's
show.
He's, like, wearing glasses over,
Fuck
like,
yeah.
a
mask.
Shito Ninja.
Please!
That would be pretty funny.
Dad, you need to wear your glasses. No, I'm a ninja.
No, you know what would be even better? If the grandfather suddenly became Kuro Ninja.
Oh, God. And became evil.
Either way, I'd be fine with that.
I'm watching it. But, yeah, so as you were saying, he said, oh, I brought you some teachers. And we see.
And jumping down from the rafters. Thank God, I was up there for hours.
We see the red alien ranger and the red ninja storm ranger.
Okay, I want to bring up one thing.
Oroko and Shane.
We obviously don't know if they will adapt this into Power Rangers. If they do, though, I wonder if they'll bring in this episode, like this footage.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting to see how they incorporate that.
Oh, God, I cannot wait to see what the name of the fucking Watch Cat is.
On one hand, Super Mega Force did do some of the crossover cameos with Jungle Fury and such. On the other hand, looking at how they're handling seasons like Dino Charge lately... the fact that they took a 50-episode show and condensed it into what we're assuming is only going to be 16 episodes, who knows what they're going to cut.
Yeah, but I think that would be interesting if they ever do, like, Ninja Force or whatever they're going to call it, and they bring in an alien ranger.
Ninja Squad! I noticed...
Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
Okay, I'm sorry. I noticed a neat little thing about the Ninja universe here. You know how... their ninja technology and their henshin stuff is based on extraterrestrial technology.
Yeah.
Well, the first Ninja Rangers were the Kaku Ranger, and when they
were westernized.
Yeah, they became aliens.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if that's a nice little nod there.
Yeah, you never know.
They became aliens, and it's like it can't be a coincidence that this is a show with aliens and ninjas in it.
Who
knows? Very possible.
And who knows, anyway, what I was saying was, I'm pretty sure Ninja will be turned into Power Rangers at some point. The question is if they will go to Ninja first or...
Well, I just mean, you never know what will happen between then and now. If, like, who knows? Power Rangers may end, like, completely. You never know.
Mm.
Especially if they do Tokuger.
Yeah.
So
apparently they're doing a vote or something. I don't know if this is real, but they're doing like a vote or something to see which will actually be the next series.
Go Busters!
No. If it's still, it's between Tokuger and Ninja.
Fuck.
Well, then Ninja
just started!
I don't mind seeing a train series. No, but remember, after Dino Charge, it's Super Dino Charge.
Are they actually doing that?
Yes. We're already filming it.
Kids don't like trains.
You can blame Nickelodeon for that.
When I was a kid, we loved trains.
Maybe we can get Johnny into watching Power Rangers by showing him to
They got their iPads.
Anyways,
So cell phones and they're fine. So the Sensei Rangers start training them.
And I gotta say, it was cool to see them. I was disappointed that it turned out it was only the Reds.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that down the series, maybe they'll do the whole thing where we see the blue Kaku and Hurricane Jirt as well. The yellow one.
I don't think there was a blue Kaku.
If your Kaku's blood, you need to see it. That's no, about it.
Especially after
I'm here all night. Not too late, I'm tired.
So they start teaching them their jutsus, and looking at the kind of jutsu they can do, you really start to realize what terrible goddamn ninjas the ninjas are.
They're the ninjas who don't hide!
Like even Kasumi can't even hold up their level of skill for more than 2 seconds.
And she is the most competent one.
It was very disturbing seeing, like, a clone come out of Fuka. It was like, ugh, kill me!
Bring me life! See what I mean? A complete and utter failure.
Yeah.
I love
seven
that.
Episodes
don't care,
strong.
I still love
Fuka. We did not need this episode to reaffirm that, but it was nice.
So yeah, the senseis, they basically show what we've all known. They all kind of suck.
They're terrible ninjas, and they're just like, all that fucking stuff you're saying about being the ninjas that don't hide.
That's
fuck
dumb.
That! That's the exact point!
That's rule one of being a ninja! You hide!
But let me guess, the red one's gonna be the only one who shows them up.
Yeah. Actually, no. He performs terribly during the exam.
No, but by end, I mean.
Oh, yeah, but we're not there yet.
This is the red group. This
so,
is the red group show. This is Takaharu.
Keeping in mind that Takaharu only really performs well in actual combat, when they do the exam with the Sensei Rangers, Takaharu is the worst and gets the worst grade, like every other exam he's taken ever, and will continue to.
But let me guess, he's gonna do okay in the end.
You know what I just realized? We had two episodes in a row where they took exams.
Yeah.
Isn't that when Ninja
Training
is all about?
And their scores
exams?
Were exactly proportioned.
Is this Japan's way of
how
telling you?
How many exams in Naruto did they take?
Was it like exam season in Japan?
No, no. Is this Japan's way of saying, you must study, kids. No fun.
Well, there were several tests.
Stop watching our show. Go study.
You're going to get bees.
One, the forest one.
Bees! Not the bees! Not the bees!
I had to say that.
Chance to become chewy, and then they
jump.
Bees. Yeah. So the monster of the week appears, Nekomata, a cat spirit fused with a goddamn watch.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck?
Who looks like he's constantly doing a goatsy.
Yeah, if you look at him when he's turned around, it looks like he has a giant asshole.
Also,
I don't know why we noticed that.
Just gaping.
Also, this thing is terrifying.
Yeah. I love how, like, the alarm icon on the watch part is like a cat bell.
And what he does is he rewinds time.
For specific objects. Like, there's a guy driving a car, and he activates his power, and the car starts driving
backwards. Oh, no, you made
backwards.
The car go reverse. That thing you can already do.
No. Oh, no. But the point is he tries to crash it into someone, because random destruction. Why not? So after the monster and the ninjas fight a little bit, along with the Sensei Rangers.
Which was cool to see them fighting in, you know, more modern stuff.
Yeah. And then we get the plot point where the reason they spawned this monster was to go back to 2005 to steal the end shuriken from the last time Kyuemon remember seeing it,
so
or at least think she does.
So go back to...
Was 2005 the year Hurricane aired?
No, Hurricane was 2002.
Oh, crap.
I thought it was 2003. No, maybe.
Wouldn't that have been hilarious if it was the Hurricane year?
Yeah.
No, it was 2002 because that was when 2002 was when no
maybe 2000, it was
because 2002 Ninja no because 2002 was when Wild Force was premiering and Hurricane was preparing.
But in any case, the monster goes back and Takaharu follows it through the portal, and then we find out through the storytelling brilliance of the two Sensei Rangers that they remember 10 years ago when this mysterious red ninja showed up along with the monster, and apparently was fucking exploded into smithereens. So they're like, yeah, Takaharu is probably dead by now. But of course, the monster comes back with what he believes is his prize, and Takaharu reveals that he was actually able to do the full-body clone decoy jutsu that he failed to do during the exam, and they reaffirm that Takaharu is only ever competent in real combat.
Because reasons.
Oh, so 2005 was Magiranger.
Okay.
There you go.
So
interesting.
Then we have the final fight with the bad guy, which I loved because it was just like the Hurricane and the Kaku Ranger was just like, just step aside, you kid.
Which correlates with our ninja.
Ooh.
And it was just, it was just great to see him, those two, you know, just like, you know, sit the fuck down.
Yeah, so they pull off, the Red Cock Ranger pulls off his Mangetsugiri, and Hurricane Red pulls off Shippuden, and and then Takaharu just jumps in and kills Steels like a motherfucker.
And so I do bequeath solo XP.
Yeah. I didn't party with you guys, so I get the experience. So, Kyuemon summons another Gancha Dokuro, who steps on one of the fucking blue mooks hilariously.
Which was hilarious, yeah.
Yeah. So, they summon Shurikenjin after revealing that two of their ceiling shuriken have turned into Hurricaneer and Conqueranger shurikens.
Yeah, and then the ninjas are just like, oh, I guess that means we passed!
And I'm just like, wait, we didn't do that.
No, it's another night in the snake pit for you,
so
Takahara.
They use up those shurikens, like they use both techniques, or what they're called.
The Kakuranger jutsu activates the clone jutsus, so there was a bunch of holographic clones of Shurikenjin. And then the Hurricaneer one activated Sky Stride, so Shinobi Maru jumped out and like flew back and forth across them doing attacks. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, bam, they finish it off.
And then Akaranger just shows up out of nowhere.
As the Sensei Rangers are just sitting there talking to the grandfather, fucking Akaranger from the original Super Sentai shows up and like, yeah, we've been looking over them like we watch over all Super Sentai.
I'm just picturing him going, well, my work here is done. What do you mean? You didn't do anything.
Didn't I? Goofy cape and all. I must go. My planet needs me.
So for a special that had the like the other ninja Sentai in it, it was cool.
It was cool to see.
I liked the monster.
Oh, I loved it. And apparently he's back next week because his name is Nekomata, which means cat again.
All I'm saying is I hope that I'm right in that like we'll see throughout the series the other Kaku Rangers
that
and
would
Hurricane
be cool.
Rangers.
I don't
all
think
builds
we'll
up
do it,
to one giant
nice.
Team up.
I hope his
that would be a movie.
I hope his death in the next episode, just his death quote is, I don't have time for this!
That'll be the Power Rangers version.
I have to go back to the future. Oh.
So next week, apparently, it's like a Fuka focused episode, but it's about her trying to hide her identity as a ninja from her school friends.
And
or
she continues trying to make Takaharu be normal, which is of course an impossibility.
Yeah, and she had like trouble trying.
And she will continue to fuck
and she
that
had
up.
Trouble yep, trying to like say thank you to Takaharu for saving him or saving her. So at the end, he's like, "Oh, Takaharu, I have something to say to you. Why you want to?" Fix my collar again? No, thank you. For what? Nothing, don't worry about it. No, what the fuck did I do?
Like, this is like romance subplot level teasing. It was really awkward.
Yeah, because it's like, this is like, this has hints of incest in it.
You know what this is? Incest.
It was weird.
Japan picked up Game of Thrones.
And this is where we end this week's show, everybody.
Yay!
We're all tired. We want to get the fuck to sleep.
Look out very soon for our first panel special.
I won't be there.
Live from AFK Con. Redcaster, myself, Greencaster, and Northcaster will be hosting the first live Cast Ranger panel.
I just
farted. It was awesome.
Okay.
Quick, pull out the dirty.
I just want to say, guys, I'm glad to be back. I'm
Yay!
Glad to be back on
we
on
missed
the show.
You!
I know!
Don't leave us again!
What if we need to move something?
When the fuck does Fuka have time to go to school?
I know, right?
She hasn't
started. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers did it.
Or she's just going off screen, and then they have ninja school after class.
They have no lives.
No.
None.
Did any of them seem like they had lives?
Except for Pink, because she goes to university.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that.
College. Yeah, pretty much.
I was like, the rest of them seem to have just given up on whatever the fuck they were doing.
Yeah. All right, find us on Podbean, whatever, Twitter and all that shit.
You're not
saying
words.
Check up our Let's
Try. I'm Lightrade.
Yeah, and if you want to see some of these guys and other people suffer through horrible Chinese snacks.
Well, if she decides to laugh from the background behind the camera.
If you also want to see an ample amount of
also
cleavage.
Next week we'll be
next week
we'll be revealing who the villain in the ninja is really, because Ichi and I know, wink wink.
Nudge.
We'll reveal next
Say
week.
No, Ma.
It was me!
You mean it actually being Kyuemon?
It was me, Austin.
I was actually filming the ninja.
You'll find out when we say next week.